The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
13 after 7. Proud to bring on Catherine Green. Catherine Green's a Republican running in the state representative 5th district race. Wants to take down Pam Marsh. Hello, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, I moved here about 12 years ago. And I have watched the Democrats in Salem and, frankly, Pam Marsh and Jeff Golden pass one atrocious bill or mandate or law after another. And it just finally got to be too much. I have experience in government. I have experience in business. I have experience in health. And I've particularly worked with the environment. I was chair of a soil and water conservation district board back in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We oversaw controlled burns. We dealt with water issues. And it's just being so badly done here, particularly that fire map, that I finally couldn't stand it anymore.
Well, I noticed you called me yesterday after I was talking about the fire map and how the chamber pack went and endorsed your opponent, Pam Marsh, you know, the incumbent there, for this. I'm thinking to myself, all right, chamber is supposedly for business, right? I mean, why would you be donating to anybody that was in favor of the fire map, which is like doing everything it can to attack people that would actually do business out on the rural lands or live there, and various companies? It just astounds me. What do you think is going on with that? By the way, did you apply for the Chamber PAC endorsement? I don't know. Did you? Maybe you didn't.
You know, I filled out a bunch of forms for them. Everyone sends me all these questionnaires, right? And from my perspective, they're all biased. It's the way the questions are formulated. But what I did, because I am what they call a Spartan candidate, okay? Pam is an incumbent. Ashland and my district is deeply Democratic.
Pam Marsh walks down the street and the campaign PAC money just falls out of her pockets walks around, I'm sure. Right? She's an incumbent.
Let me tell you a couple little bits of information. So one thing I have heard repeatedly, and this is between you and me and all your listeners, but the thing is they wield so much power up in Salem that a lot of people are afraid of them. That's just really the truth in the state of Oregon. So until we can get a groundswell of conservatives, Republicans, common sense, middle of the road, non-aligned voters, the independents, to come together to push back against these more extreme measures that are frankly just driving people out of the state, bankrupting businesses, and they're harming kids. If we can't get a groundswell of people to push back against this, then people will just up and leave, right? Because your businesses were bankrupted, all right? Your kids are harmed. They're being indoctrinated in these schools in a way that is appalling. I mean, I would not put a child in an Oregon school anymore. And I listened to Michael Denbrow and Jeff Golden trying to make sure that Salem has 100% control over everything that is ever said or taught in a classroom in the state of Oregon. That was another thing that I really was appalled by. And it's through my work with Children's Health Defense, which Bobby Kennedy originated as the World Mercury Project.
And by the way, that's the first way I heard about you, you know, back in the day with Children's Health Defense. And it would seem that that point of view, which was thought of as so fringe. I'm not saying it was fringe. I'm just saying, but you know what I mean. You know, it's like, I'm sure at the beginning of COVID and things like that, people were looking at you, Catherine, like you had three heads. Obviously, something's wrong with this woman. She's not following the science, right? Or whatever. I imagine that's what happened to you, right?
Here's the problem. We have the most indoctrinated public who has been lied to the point where they wouldn't know that the sky is blue when there's not a cloud in it, right? Mm. They don't know the truth anymore. And I was a very strong biology student. And then my child was vaccine injured back in the 1990s. So I spent a lot of time looking into this topic. When they came out with those shots, I went, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What can go wrong with a nanolipid particle encased modified RNA coding for the most toxic part of this virus? That's crazy. I'm sorry. I think it's just nuts on the face of it. And to listen to all the media pundits and doctors supposedly and public health officials supposedly come out and tell you to do this and do it to your kids who were never at risk. Your children were never at risk. That was one of the gifts of that bad virus, which, by the way, looks 100% to have been created with our tax dollars too, right?
Yeah, it does seem that way. Catherine Green with me this morning. By the way, do you get the impression that there's an attempt to memory hole all of this, Catherine? I was even surprised to notice that even with the Joe Rogan talk with President Trump the other day, 3 hours, not one mention.
They don't bring it up.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk about
why.
That now.
They're guilty as hell. That's why, Bill. They're all guilty as hell. And, you know, I didn't trust Donald Trump because of what he did during COVID. Now, I saw him trying to do the right thing for quite some time, and the howling wolves at his heels for telling the American public the truth. A, masks aren't going to protect you from COVID. I'm sorry. If that's a newsflash for anyone, I'm sorry. This virus is so small, it's like you're trying to keep mosquitoes out with a chain link fence, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
And the other thing is that when you breathe against a mask, it puts streams out the back. So you're actually spreading this airborne virus even more. And then you have your children that are permanently damaged because they didn't learn speech or they were huddled in an apartment building terrified for almost 3 years because of the propaganda. I mean, this was a war on the American public.
I would agree with you. And something which has concerned me is that how there once again seems to be such an urge to shut everybody up. And, well, you know, that happened then. We know better now. We're going to move along. I even reached out. There was a family in Northern California whose daughter was severely vaccine injured. And it was even reported in the local news for a little while until it kind of got repressed. And I would reach out to the family and said, hey, you want to talk about this? And it's just like, nope. Could never even get return calls on this stuff. It's almost like people are just keeping their head down still. Even at this point in time,
people are. It's true. They're terrified. And when they can bankrupt your business, when they can cast you out of society, when they're going to take away your job, when they're going to destroy you, and you see, we've got doctors that are threatening to put them in prison because they actually treated their patients and healed them. So we're living through something that is, you know, you hate the comparison, but it is like the rise on some level of any totalitarian system. And there are people speaking out against it. Naomi Wolf has spoken against it.
Yeah.
You have the Brownstone Institute. You have so many. Bobby Kennedy spoke out against it the whole time. And he talked about the taking of your businesses. You know, the 14th Amendment was designed to protect our property and our property rights. And this was an illegal take. Another thing you probably don't know about me is that my family built the first hotel in Crystal City, which is Arlington, Virginia, right between the Pentagon and National Airport. And we had other properties in the Arlington region. They were all bankrupted functionally by the COVID lockdowns. We were, you know, family-oriented tourists stayed there. Washington shut down. They were terrified of this thing. And I think that's how they got Donald Trump in the end to go along with them, was they convinced him it was a bioweapon. That's just my opinion. And because he suddenly changed March 2020. And then we started seeing the increased deaths. Once they brought in the COVID measures and the deaths from despair, the suicides, the alcoholism, all the problems, you can't shut a nation and a world down.
Well, heck, the kids still haven't recovered. You know, even now we're still hearing talk about the state of Oregon, problems with education. And you say, well, this is still like a hangover from COVID. It's like, huh?
It's appalling. What they did to our children is appalling. Anybody who passes on this is, oh, well, their moral sense is not working. We need people with common sense, life experience, and some moral courage.
All right. So let's talk about then what you would propose to do, maybe how you would differentiate yourself from your opponent, Pam Marsh. Huh? What are some of the things that are on your mind, huh?
So I'm the opposite. In the first place, that fire map is a travesty on so many different levels. So they lump together vertical, you know, slopes practically covered with standing towers of kerosene, which is our, you know, forest.
Yeah, Madrone, all the rest
the
of that stuff. Sure.
The valley.
Yeah.
They did, and then they put the same level of fire danger on basically flat grasslands that are heavily irrigated. It's just offensive to anyone's intelligence. The gentleman down here from Oregon State University said, oh, frankly, I don't know what a BTU is, and neither does anyone else either. Okay, a BTU is a British thermal unit. We should all know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the point of having education, right? And we don't have a good educational system either. The Democrats are supposed to be strong in education. Our state is so far behind, it is appalling. And after the extensive COVID lockdowns, our kids are at like 33% proficiency in math, English, and science.
Well, back to the map, though. What would you do, the fire map, since the that seems to be a lot of what got us talking in first year? What would you do?
You scrap it entirely. Now, there has to be a huge pushback. Everybody who's rural, and I'm rural, I chose the other side of the valley, in a sense, where there's oak trees and grass, for fire danger. But it's everybody's right to live where they want. We already pay a lot of taxes so that we can have fire protection, right, from the state and the county, all our fire departments. Mm-hmm. We also pay homeowners insurance, and they're not stupid. But once they slap that map on us, everybody's rates doubled. Some people's tripled. I know young families that just gave up on home ownership and left.
Now, the insurance industry will say, though, that they didn't look at the fire map and that it was just their own maps, that they do their own maps. Do you believe that, Catherine Green?
It's a coincidence that everybody's insurance suddenly doubled and tripled when the fire map came out.
You never know. Occam's razor could be just that there have been lots of losses, going on. They have to make it up somehow. I don't know.
Come on, Bill.
All right.
I know one little tiny community, and they fussed and called Jeff Golden continually, and they got themselves cut out of the fire map. I mean, this is political. And to get back to what's really happening in this state, in my opinion, there is a movement to make it harder and harder and harder for people to have a business, to raise a family, and to live on the land.
Why do you think that is? What do you think is driving that, Catherine?
I think it's ideology. They believe that we're killing our planet with CO2, which I do not believe. And I think they believe if they drive everybody into a stack and pack down on the interstate or into a city, they can then control their consumption. You're the carbon they want to control. That's the truth. And if anybody is going to bankrupt your business, hurt your children, cause you unmitigated damage when you are a tax-paying, hardworking, honest citizen, it's always the government. Just look at history. When they say trust the government, well, either you know history well or you trust the government. You can't do both. The citizens have to stay on top of their government, and they're not doing it. They've handed off all the responsibility to others who are doing, frankly, a terrible job. And it takes a lot of time and work to take apart how each move they make. So let's just take the new commercial tax that's being proposed. They bankrupted lots of Oregonians. A lot of people fled. Their taxes are falling. And so what do? They raise taxes on the rest of us. That's backwards. You have to cut taxes if you want your economy and your people to come back.
How would you describe a Catherine Green economic plan? Because one of the issues that I've had with it, it seems that the system of Southern Oregon is that, you can't really make much anymore because carbon. And so it's going to be sustainable tourism. It's going to be that stack and pack. And then we're going to invite you to, to see our amazing environmental fires in the summer, I guess, and watch the forest being restored. How would you, if you had a role to play in Salem, what would you push for?
So you need lower taxation. You need to loosen all these land restrictions that they have. It's ridiculous. I'm got a zoning of 1 in 160 over top of the land that I've purchased here, and it butts up to 1 in 10. It's not a high value agricultural soil like the soils down in the valleys. They should be allowing people to do creative building up here with zero energy homes or high efficiency homes. It's the perfect place to put them, and yet absolutely not. And then the state lands that I abut to or that are very close to me, these are badly managed. Let's just face it. They're so badly managed. And now they've decided to burn everything. And that's crazy. These are not old growth forests that are fire resilient. And we've been enduring years and years and years of drought. And a lot of that, I think, may have some, have been created by human consequences and not CO2. CO2 gives you a warm, moist environment. That's not what we're seeing. So regardless of why we're in a drought, you don't start burning your forests then. And they burn them and then log them. I'd rather they log them than burn them and log them. So it's just all backwards, in my opinion.
Okay. Do you have a take on law enforcement at all, or public safety, anything that that comes to mind? Because, so much that has come out of the state legislature has been Yeah, yeah, it's laughable, too. I'm laughing with you, not at you, okay?
Bill,
yeah.
You don't throw out a welcome mat for every drug addict, I'm sorry, and damaged human being in North America and then think you're not going to have law enforcement problems. When they decriminalized all the drugs, they lost their minds. It's another reason I wouldn't put my child in a school here. When my daughter went to Ashland High, I was not aware how incredibly drug-saturated that school is.
Even Ashland, huh? Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of accepted, it seems like. And I think law enforcement has had its hands tied behind its back because Salem, frankly, gives them insurmountable, you know, burdens to carry. And so if you go through my voter pamphlet, you will see that law enforcement is one of the issues that I think you have to have public safety. And public safety is not having people who are mentally unbalanced, who have drug addictions, who have destroyed their own lives through drug use, and the drugs shouldn't be available on the street. It is not responsible adult behavior to allow your children to grow up in communities that are saturated with methamphetamine, fentanyl, and everything else you can possibly imagine.
Do you think that the fixes to Measure 110 will work? Any thoughts on that?
I think it's a slight improvement. I don't think it's anywhere near enough. They're, you know, these people are governing by ideology. They're not governing with any kind of responsibility, accountability, you know, what actually works. So I love Oregon. You know, I love a lot of the people I know here. I love the land. But I think that we are just being destroyed by bad policymaking decisions in Salem.
And I'm not even going to bother asking you about things like medical freedom, because I think we already covered that. Children, I mean, I think about half the talk was children's health defense during the COVID time. I think you bring, I think you present a very interesting candidacy, all right? And I would hope that that people will consider you for this. And how can we find out more? How can people find out more about your candidacy? You have a website, so, anything like that going on?
I have a website, but really it just has a basic, my CV, basically, what I've done over the course of my lifetime that makes me able to carry this role. But the main issues, I put them in the voter's pamphlet. And so I'm basically, in a sense, a protest vote, but it is an option. And if you're not happy with what Salem's been up to, please vote for me. And hopefully the day is going to come when there's a lot more candidates similar to my type of thinking.
Well, you start with a protest vote, and then hopefully it grows into not necessarily a protest vote, but just a winning vote. Okay, we'll look at it that way. Okay,
and I'm not leaving Oregon. They're not driving me out. I really kind of sunk some roots here, so they're going to have to deal with me for a while, Bill.
Yeah, you ever get that feeling though, like they're trying to drive everybody out of Oregon? I've never seen anything quite like it. You know. Here, come to Oregon. We'll take your property rights. We'll fill your streets rather with bums. Speaking of the property rights, though, you are by trade, you are a property manager, right? And so,
well,
right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So property management. Senate Bill 100. If for some reason, you know, hell would freeze over and there would be the opportunity to repeal Senate Bill 100 that gave us statewide land use planning, would you be a yes vote for that or not?
Oh, absolutely. Are you crazy? Bill, that's how they hamstrung the economy here. And, you know, you do know, I know you're, you know, exceptionally well informed, but 60% of the land in this state is owned and managed by the federal government. So, of course, you need to allow people to have maximum access to the 40% we own. And instead, they took it away from us. Here's the secret. It's always easier to manage and pass laws and control the citizens because they have no power to fight back against you than it is to do your own job, which is to manage the state forests, to manage the assets under your control, to be fiscally responsible, and to deal with the feds who have a long history of neglecting their responsibilities.
Indeed.
Government just grows and grows and grows and yet never does its job.
Well, do your job there, Catherine. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Catherine Green, Republican candidate.
Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much. Catherine Green, Republican, State Representative 5th District here in Southern Oregon. Catherine Green, thank you so much for the call. It's 7:33.
At Pressure Point Roofing, your home is our passion.
7:36. By the way, next hour, we will have a Diner 62 quiz you can win and plenty of open phone time on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. We'll do that, all right? We have Lynn here. Lynn, you wanted to talk about Catherine Green. Had a talk with her about her 5th District State Representative race.
Yeah, thanks for having her on. And I just wanted to say, I know Catherine personally. She's a friend of mine, and you can tell she's dynamic and she's fearless.
Yeah, there's absolutely no passion within her whatsoever. I'll tell you, what a dead fish talk. I'm just kidding.
Seriously, so boring. Yeah. And I just want to encourage people to support her. And it is a protest vote, most likely. But, you know, she pretty much single-handedly launched that Children's Health Defense in Oregon. And it's a top-notch organization. And you have to jump through so many hoops to meet their standards. And she pulled it off. And I served on the board briefly with her, and she's just amazing. So I just wanted to give my personal endorsement to Catherine and ask people to support her, as well as vote Trump and vote red all the way down the ballot.
All right. Will do. I appreciate your call, as always, Lynn. You take care.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschinger. We'll talk election things and some other news. And I from what I understand... I'm about to be schooled on how we ended up getting vote by mail. I guess I didn't tell the whole story. We'll have more of that coming up here in just a moment. All right. Price of gold is still hovering in these nosebleed areas, but I'm looking at the experts and people that are talking about because of the buying of the central banks, and then we have the industrial uses for silver taking nice pops and things like that. And neither Trump nor Harris are really going to be in favor of cutting the budget and cutting spending. So I think the high prices of these precious metals is indicative of more inflation than they would probably wish to admit. Okay. And for that, talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. That's by appointment. Call 482-3715. They'll help you protect a portion of your wealth, whatever portion of your wealth you decide to put in precious metals. And as the inflation play continues to grind through the system, no matter who's president, no matter who's in control of Congress right now, I mean, we just got a lot of debt. A lot of debt going on there. It has to be serviced one way or the other. But gold has a long, long track record of being a way to protect you and protect you from such ravages. Talk to Jay Austin in Ashland and Grants Pass, FortuneReserve.com, FortuneReserve.com. But just stop by today, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. After arson fires at ballot boxes in Portland and Vancouver Monday, more...
I'm on KMED.
7:42... MSNBC under a little bit of pushback here for using Nazi rally clips as it covered former President Trump's Madison Square Garden thing. I'm surprised. Now, I didn't hear all the coverage here, Herman. Did they use the horse vessel, you know, the Nazi party theme here, you know, to do that? I didn't know if they used the music or not, but kind of.
Well, that was just a folk rally. Music, but anyway.
Okay. All right.
You know, that is so absurd. If our national news media actually did that, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, there was a Nazi rally here back in the 1930s. I think it probably wasn't a Nazi rally. I imagine it wasn't there an America First. I think it was an America First movement in the late 1930s.
It was the brown shirts.
There was a brown shirt rally, huh? Okay.
Yeah, which were Nazi sympathizers, and there was a lot of immigrants from Germany direct, you know, in the United States at that time that have immigrated, and that was the people that did it, and blah blah blah. But how would you like to own Madison Square Garden, you know, and be labeled as that's the center of Nazism in the United States?
Oh, I know. I didn't realize that Billy Joel played his final concert recently at the center of Nazism rather than Madison Square Garden.
A lot of presidents have had rallies there over the years. Were they all Nazis, too?
Yeah. It really is indicative, though, that, a lot of folks are wound real tight in this lead up to the election next week. That's for sure.
Oh, they there's no question about it. And I'm just, I am very worried no matter what happens, there's going to be some instability in this country for a while.
I wanted to ask you if you've been hearing anything in the law enforcement world. A couple of people have told me rumors behind the scene that OSP is going to be moved, or some of it going to be moved over to Portland in order to take care of what they think, what they almost guarantee they think they're going to have riots after the election. Have you heard anything about that, or is that just a rumor with no basis in it? Do you know?
No, and since I left the Senate, I used to get the fusion reports all the time when I was in the Senate as a leader, but I don't have access to that anymore, Bill.
Oh, okay. All right. I could understand them doing that. If there was any place that was going to have some sportiness one way or the other, I would expect it to be Portland, especially given that one of the ballot boxes was set on fire yesterday. They're still trying to figure out who did that.
Yeah. Boy, anyways, I think, like I said, I think there's going to be some unrest for quite some time.
And it'll be not just the election night, but I think what happens, because I get the distinct impression that it's going to have to be so much of a blowout for Trump. And there is a possibility, you look at the momentum, there could be, if everything is fair and there's a little bit of hinky, there could be a blowout here, don't you think? I mean, it's a possibility in this particular case. I don't want to, you know, bank on that. I really don't. Nope. But who knows?
Who knows? So, vote by mail.
Oh, that's right. You were going to school me on, I guess I gave an incomplete history of vote by mail in Oregon. How did that actually happen then?
Okay, so first we have to start with the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution solely gives the responsibility for voting activities to the state legislature. So each state can figure out how to conduct voting. It's not a federal mandate. It is done state by state. So even the people can't change that in a state. It has to come from the legislature. So in 1981, the Oregon legislature actually approved vote by mail for local elections at the discretion of the county. Okay?
Oh, okay. So they left it up to the county to decide whether to implement it or not. Okay. All right.
But it came from the Oregon legislature. All right. And so then in 89, they extended that to include primary elections. But that was defeated in the legislature. And then in 95, they changed it that it could be in the federal primary election, totally vote by mail. And that was the year that U.S. Senator Ron Wyden was elected. In 1998, that's the Measure 60 you're talking about, all of that did was confirm vote by mail and that it would be mandatory for all counties.
That's all it did. So the legislature had already been moving the state to a vote by mail stance at that point.
Yes. And it is the notorious drip by drip out of the legislature. So you took them from 81 to 98 to make it mandatory for every county. And that's how they do things up there. Now, who are the big supporters of vote by mail in Oregon? The League of Women Voters, the League of Conservation Voters, AARP, Oregon Education Association. Those were the big supporters of vote by mail.
So the people who wanted vote by mail were arguably the hard left supporters in the state of Oregon.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Yep. And the opponents were Republicans, different Republicans like Lynn Snodgrass and Bill Sizemore and some of those people. Boy. And they said that it would invite election fraud. So this is what they said, 25 years ago?
And nothing has changed. If anything, we decide that we're going to double down on such matters. And now we have a situation in which you know, you have people that are running for Secretary of State, you know, Dennis Linthicum in this particular case, and Tobias Reid. And Linthicum wants to change the rules on some of this vote by mail stuff so that you could actually look at the ballots, because as it is right now, you have to spend about $1 million to look at the ballots in an election because of these privacy rules that have been, you know, enacted here. And we have a Republican, a local Republican, endorsing the Democrat. What do you think's driving that? What's driving that here, Herman? Have you got any thought to that?
I have no. It's probably a personal relationship is the only thing I could gather. So, yeah, and those happen in the legislature. That you know, those happen. But, you know, Tobias has been a pretty. I don't necessarily want to use the words moderate Democrat, but he's behaved that way. But his voting record doesn't show it that way. How's that? I think that's a good way to describe.
Okay, so he presents then as a moderate Democrat, but votes like a radical Democrat. Okay, so in other words, he's a Democrat.
I know.
All right.
I know.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you down the phone. Okay.
No, but you know, I will say, you know, he's a nice guy to talk to, and he's pleasant and everything. And you would walk away saying, you know, he's not, but his voting record doesn't show that. The other interesting footnote of this whole thing is Governor Kate Brown was Secretary of the State, and she's the one that promoted voter motor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, or motor voter.
Motor voter. Yeah.
I called it voter bloater back then because that's exactly what it did. And that's where they have found these people. And it makes no sense because nobody checks. You fill out that application and on the bottom it says, are you a U.S. citizen? And people just check it, yes, and nobody looks at that.
And until that changes, until you actually have to prove that you are a citizen in order to get the franchise, I don't know if much changes in the state of Oregon, Herman. I don't like being defeatist about this, but that is such a glaring, open wound in the election process. You would think that the Democrats would be embarrassed about this rather than circling the wagons over it.
The progressive Democrats feel that if you live here, you should vote here, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No, nothing else. You live here, you should vote here. That means if you live here illegally, that's fine. You live here, you should vote here. It's crazy.
We're about the only country in the world that thinks that way.
Well, it's not. We don't think that way, Bill. It's just a few people in charge think that way.
Yeah. Well, that they're in charge is all that matters. Hey, Herman, I wanted to get your take on it. Of the five state legislative, or many of these referred by the state legislature, on the state measures 115, 116, 117, 118, and 119, which one of those do you think have the greatest chance of passing? Anything come to mind at this point?
Ranked voting.
You think ranked choice voting is actually going to be passed by the dim voters of Oregon?
I don't know if I want to say it's going to be passed, but has the greatest chance. I mean, they're sinking so much money, all of it outside the state of Oregon. All of it's coming from us, and they're running all kinds. Oh, you get more choices. And, you know, if you notice, the progressive liberals always work on your emotion. Oh, you get more choices. This is much better. You know, there's always going to be somebody on the ballot that you want to vote for and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really worried about it because I see the amount of money, millions and millions of dollars.
And it's not coming from the state of Oregon. Ranked choice voting people are from out of state. It's a nonprofit. If I recall correctly, I was reading a story in the Oregonian that it is the largest vote contribution. It's the largest campaign contribution of the entire election process here. And it's an out-of-state group wanting us to go for ranked choice voting. And I have to wonder, you know, since this nonprofit's out of Virginia, why aren't they doing this to Virginia votes? Why are they worried about what Oregon's going to do? Why do you think they're pushing Oregon?
How many times have I said this on your show? Oregon's a petri dish. We're only 4.3 million people. The big voting block is in three counties, and so it's easy to manipulate. It doesn't take a lot of money to manipulate.
I noticed that Montana is also going for ranked choice voting this time, or is being given the opportunity. Another similar state, right? maybe big in area, but not very big in population. Same kind of thing, right? They look in Montana much the same way. Easy to manipulate like that. So you get a bunch of rubes that are going, oh, okay, I can vote. I can rank the people I like in order. And, you know, essentially, you know what's going to happen if we get ranked choice voting? It's going to be the point where there'll be one Republican running and then 40 Democrats, right, for a particular seat. And then you just have to rank your choice. And so, well, I only want the Democrat. All too bad. The other 39 will end up getting some form of rank and probably win it, right?
Yes. It's exactly right. And, you know, the Republicans will have to learn how to play that game. But it is. It's just a complicated – it's a game of charades for the voter. So I hope people don't vote. I hope they don't pass this. They have no idea what they're doing if they pass ranked choice voting.
What do you think about the one that would allow impeachment? I've been telling people to vote no on all of these. I think every one of these state measures is a bad idea. I think the impeachment is bad, too, but maybe for a different reason.
We have impeachment by the voter. So the voter puts the person in office. The voter can take the person out of office. How this changes is the voter puts the person in office, and the legislature can take the person out of office.
Kind of like the way the legislature takes out the ballot measure that many citizens will vote on, right? When they
look what the legislature did over denial of quorum.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, you don't sit in your seat and behave. We're going to kick you out of here.
Yeah.
That's what the legislature did with that.
Well,
so
do you think that one has a chance?
Well, they all have a chance or they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
But I don't think it has a high chance.
Okay. I hope not, because the way I look at it is that 2/3 of the legislature would be used to remove someone from office. That just means it's Democrats removing Republicans they don't like. That's the way I would see this playing in the real world.
Oh, I'm sure I would have been impeached.
Oh, I know you would have been. I know you would have been impeached. You know, a hero to the right, but at the same time, you would have been impeached as a traitor by those on the communist side of the aisle. Okay, that's it.
Oh, I used to say it all the time. I say, if they could shoot me and get away with it, I'd be dead already.
Yeah. Now, what about Measure 118, the one with raising taxes, and then they give all the rubes $1,600 a year? You know, those that don't understand economics. You think that's going to make it?
It has a chance. I feel it's going to get defeated, but it does have a chance.
Okay.
It's free ice cream. Bill, people love free ice cream, and they don't worry about where the ice cream comes from or how much the ice cream costs.
I think Measure 118 will be the real sign. We're going to find out just how stupid the Oregon voter can be with the overall. Yep. And I'm an Oregon voter, so I'm not making fun of it, of anybody outside of me, all right? I'm just saying we're all kind of in there. If that passes, I think we pretty much know what the level of critical thinking is in the state of Oregon. Would you agree on that? I'll give you the final word.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know about critical thinking. I think it's more about paying attention. Attention. It's just people are so busy. Now, I think this election cycle, though, I think more people are paying attention. But we're still not there. I think a lot more have to pay attention.
All right.
So I don't know. Hey, have you seen what is coming out of the this election? I mean, all of a sudden, Harris is for border security and more of this and more of that. But the whopper she told in Dallas, the absolute whopper, was she adamantly said, if Trump gets elected, he will end abortion nationwide, which is impossible. He can't do that. Yeah.
What? An executive order? An executive order? I am going to stop all the abortion today. No, I don't think he can do that.
No.
And by the way, he's kind of a moderate Republican on this, a Republican on this issue. I don't think he wants to.
No, and it's remanded back to the state. It has nothing to do with the federal government. So, but, you know, when you look at what they did with Madison Square Gardens and say it's a Nazi rally, and now she's trying to say he's the dictator and he's going to by executive order. I mean, she said it 3 times. She was emphatic about that. And I'm like, you lying sack of bull crap, you know? I said, that's impossible. Everybody stretches things in the election cycle. But just an outright bold lie that anybody with any kind of understanding of how government works, I couldn't believe it. I've never heard a president candidate say something that blatantly wrong. I couldn't believe it.
Well, this is a year which is breaking a lot of records for election, well, records. We'll just keep it that way here, Herman. Have a great week, and we'll kick it around again on Election Day. And at that point, I don't know, are you about ready to just have it done? Because I know I am. I'm ready. Want it over with.
Well, yeah, I want to see what the results, you know, especially here in Josephine County, where, you know, it's a battle. And we're going to see exactly what color Josephine County is coming out of this election. I mean, we're going to see it this time.
Is it red or is it going purpley? You know, that kind of thing. And if it's up to Scott Stoddard over at the Daily Courier, he wants to see it go purpley. I have no doubt, because I think that the Republican Party could come up with a cure for cancer, and I think Scott Stoddard would still come out against him because, look, Josephine County Republicans are putting the American Cancer Society workers out of work now with this cure for cancer. You could see him doing that. You know that, right?
Did you read an editorial over the weekend?
Oh, the one about why the Republicans are so bad for local government, that kind of thing?
The Republicans have just done what every party has done, and that makes recommendations who to vote for. And Scott Stoddard has declared war on the Republicans because we had the audacity to promote our candidates. I couldn't believe it. I just started. This guy is out of his mind.
Interesting times, Herman. Interesting times. We'll just leave it at that. We'll talk Tuesday, all right? You be well.
All right. See you later.
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Barrett-Shager. It's a minute after 8. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Sheriff Sickler from Jackson County gave me a text message here. And, you know, he posed an interesting question, so I had to look this up. He says, could the legislature remove sheriffs? And now I'm looking at ballot measure 115. It amends the Oregon Constitution to grant the Oregon House of Representatives the power to impeach statewide elected officials in the executive branch and to grant the Oregon Senate the power to try any impeachment coming from the House of Representatives. Okay, so there we go. Now, the Oregon Constitution currently reserves to voters the power to recall public officials, including statewide elected officials, but does not authorize either chamber of the legislative assembly. So, really, this impeachment, Measure 115, is really a power grab of the state legislature in which you really don't have as much power. We'll take care of this. The state legislature will take care of the recalls that are needed of statewide officials, not you. You little people don't need to get involved in that. So, that's another reason why I'm not in favor of this, but Sheriff, I don't think that Measure 115 can have a recall effect on local county sheriffs. Don't believe so. Now, what I don't know, and I'm going to have to look this up, is if they already have the power to recall you. I don't know.